Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Self-love commitment phobes. Yes. This is a thing. Lend me your ears if you identify as someone who's a little shy of commitment. Is marriage too big of a word? And do you feel stopped by the idea of a commitment so serious? You know, self-compassion makes sense. Trusting yourself, yeah. Self-care, people start to see, yeah, wow, that's important. And self-love, like, oh, wow, okay, like, this is bigger than this. But then the marriage part, that's a real tipping point, right? So I'm excited about today's topic, about resistance, about being afraid to make that commitment, particularly when it comes to self-marriage. So as many of you already know, I have been married to myself for 17 years. I'm like 17 and a half years. Do we stop counting that? It's like, you know, when you're little and you're like, I'm 8 and a half, but no one says I'm 46 and a half. Anyways, 17 and a half years I have been married to myself, and I have had countless conversations about this topic through my writing, my teaching, my coaching, and yes, my dating life over those 17 years. And in those 17 years, I have seen the rise of self-love in mainstream conversation, both the collective hunger for it, and also the confusion about how to actually do it. What is self-love? How do you do this? What is this thing everyone is talking about? What is this thing I have silkscreened on a tote bag and I need to cultivate in my own heart? Like, how do we make that bridge? Do you know what I'm talking about? The confusion of this gap, can lead us to think that we don't get it, and that we're doing it wrong, or that we just have a long way to go. There's some people who get it. Those people in the pictures that you see, they get it. And then when we hear the word self-marriage, well, it's like, it could seem like forever from now. Just like, well, I'm not there yet. Like, it's a destination, right? Obviously, some unpopular truth, but love is unnecessary for marriage. And some of us know that the hard way. So let's just get real. I mean, how many marriages do you know of that kind of suck? Like, just, you don't have to tell me. Don't tell them. But you're just like, you know, I would, someone I was dating once said, you know, he never really wanted to get married because he'd never really seen anyone sell it to him. Like, no one's marriage looked good. And that's obviously a bigger thing to unpack. But I understood the, you know, what he was saying. It's like, there's a lot. It's not perfect. If you're in one, you know this. I mean, how many marriages have you either, maybe you're in one or you have been in one, where it was so much about how things looked from the outside, or like boxes that you check off of what married people are supposed to do and supposed to be. And it wasn't sustainable. Have you had, or do you know of any unions that you would describe as like deeply conscious unions? You might have lots of those in your life. I'm just asking some questions. But perhaps many of you have been to dinner parties and on the way home in the car, you're just thinking like, thank God that's not me. This is bleak. It's getting better, I promise. Speaking of having conversations in cars after dinner parties, One of my favorite movies is Friends with Money. And they just handle this. They use that idea of like the conversations that happen in cars afterwards. It's just sprinkled lightly throughout this film. And I love how they do it. But that's definitely a Danette kind of film for those of you who have seen it or for those of you who are interested. Friends with Money. So marriages are not perfect. Relationships are not perfect. But I think that collectively we're kind of okay with this, right? Like there's lots of jokes about how marriages aren't perfect. We talk about sacrifice. We're patient even in those marriages of our friends where we'd be in the car being like, oh, like, thank God that's not me. There might still be some hope there, right? Of like, I hope they can really work this out. Like, I hope they're going to do this. We don't think, maybe sometimes, but we don't often resort to this like, well, they should never be married. Sometimes, yes, in extreme cases. But in general, there's this expectation that it's just, that's just the way it is, right? So, but here's where I'm getting to. You know, I think that we've come to realize that, you know, love is challenging and imperfect. And I think that we're open to that when it comes to most marriages. I have yet to hear of someone deciding to marry themselves with the same embrace of imperfection. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I'm saying I have yet to hear this. When I see other people's posts about self-marriage, and I've done this because that moment of talking about it is like this arrival and the celebration of making that decision. There's lots of love there. There's lots of, like, you know, bigness there. And that's often what is being celebrated in those moments. But I don't really hear this kind of like, yeah, I'm going to try and make it work. You know, like I haven't heard anyone marry themselves who has that approach going in. And so while I understand, and definitely I'm for, like, you know, crappy self-marriages is not the goal. That's not what I'm trying to. I am a leader of the crappy self-marriage movement. I wonder if there's a double standard standing in the way of truly giving this to ourselves. So I think there's an important distinction to be made here. Yes, you want more for yourself in your coupled up marriages and marriage to yourself. Yes. Yes to standards. Yes to elevation. Yes to wanting more. Yes to not settling for crappy, loveless self-marriage. Yes. To, you know, this is like, you know, the amount of respect that you want to show yourself. That's what I hear in the hesitation, that the commitment means something. You want to be in a position to give it your all. Yes. Yes to this. Absolutely. And what if you are waiting to be in the position to give and love perfectly? What if this is in the way of you receiving the self-love that you really need? What if you decided to marry yourself not because you achieved some level of self-love, enlightenment, but because, you know, you need this, and you need this now more than ever? What if you decided to marry yourself because you need to be chosen? And what if the part of you that needs the most loving is tired and it just wants you to sweep it off its damn feet already? This may seem a little backwards, but I have a proposal for you, for the cold feet in you. It's the idea of arranging a marriage with yourself. And now let me be clear by what I mean by this. So arranged marriage is defined on Wikipedia as a type of marital union where the bride and groom are selected by individuals other than the couple themselves, particularly family members such as the parents. Depending on culture, a professional matchmaker may be used. Arranged marriages can take a variety of forms, ranging from forced marriages to consensual marriages. This is where Wikipedia, thank you, they is stepping off. Now this is back to me. So obviously, I'm not talking about a forced marriage. Do not do this from a place of force. Hesitation, sure. Fluttery, nervousness, resistance, absolutely. But above all, consent. Okay, so there's that. And choosing of the perspective of a matchmaker, you know, in a lot of the work that I do, I look at, you know, sort of like a cultural, like my own definition of marriage, a culture's definition of marriage, and I use it as a metaphor for this this relationship I'm creating ongoing with myself. So bride and groom, wife and wife, two parties, two sides of yourselves, or there's like many parts of myself married together. Embrace fluidity in here with this whole thing, because this is what's so cool about self-marriage that I love, is that it gives everyone permission to just make it their own. There is no way. You know, I have learned a lot that I love to share with you. And big part of that is to make it yours. And a big part of making it yours is in choosing the language that you want to leave out and choosing the new stories that you want to weave through. Okay. So with this metaphor of an arranged marriage, think of the perspective of a matchmaker who has the best loving intentions. So what if you were your own matchmaker? And the idea being that you know that this union is in the best interest of all parties. You can see the potential here. You have faith in the possibility of what can grow from this beautiful chemistry. Even if you are the only one who can see it just yet, and even if you can't see all of it, imagine that perspective of a matchmaker. What if self-marriage is a container for love to grow, not a reward for having it all figured out? Susan Piver's book, it's a new book called The Four Noble Truths of Love. It's Buddhist wisdom for modern relationships. I have listened to Susan Piver. I've subscribed to her wonderful newsletters. She's a meditation teacher, a really incredible, magnetic speaker and voice, and I'm really looking forward to this book, especially after hearing her wonderful conversation with Jonathan Fields on The Good Life Project. It's another podcast you may already listen to or would like to maybe check out. So I was so moved by the idea that relationships are not being the source of love, but the container for love. In that interview, Susan Piver talked about her relationship and how it was less about loving the other person and more about their relationship being a container for love. I absolutely love this idea. And, you know, in the episode, You Are the One You've Been Searching For, you know, I've said that, you know, it's not about looking outside of you. It's not about looking for love out there. It's all in here. So here, where you choose to cultivate it, this resonates so hugely with me. And that is what my own self-marriage has done for me. Now, I kind of stumbled into that. But really, I'm realizing now that this has been a container. So I'm going to ask you this one more time. What if self-marriage is a container for love to grow, not a reward for having it all figured out? What is that delicious smell? Oh, is that a game changer? Because it certainly is for me. You know, it's just, feel the difference that makes, right? You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to achieve some like mountaintop ideal of what self-love is and just like never say a poor word to yourself to be able to like step into this commitment. My shoulders just drop, the pressure just drops, maybe your panties drop, maybe, because now you can relax and I don't know, have some fun, enjoy yourself. Like maybe self-marriage doesn't have to be so serious. Maybe you weren't wearing panties in the first place. Whatever. You get the idea. It can be playful. It doesn't have to be perfect. You are whole and complete right now. Marryable right now. So let's talk more about love and about deciding to love yourself, which that's what this is. The power of deciding to make the commitment, that is what creates the container. You know, I started this episode calling all commitment phobes, but I want you to come closer here. So there's more to that story. There's more under that surface of commitment phobic loving. If you are hesitant, this might mean that you understand what is being asked of you. It might mean that you know it is something that you don't want to take lightly. And that, to me, is a sign that you are ready. Does that make sense? You are not flippant about it. You want it to mean something. You are thoughtful, mindful, respectful of its implications. This is just like people who doubt whether or not they would be good parents. They know what a responsibility and privilege this is. They are thinking about the life that they will be responsible for. They are wanting to choose with consciousness before bringing another life in. In some ways, this makes them excellent candidates for parenthood, a reverence for the honor to love a life in this way, to take on that responsibility. That's a wonderful quality in a parent. So we know with becoming a parent, that role will hold us to the fire, perhaps for the rest of our lives. And it's not a position that we can easily wiggle out of without consequence. This is the difference between what we know of as regular marriages and self-marriage. Because if you bail on your self-marriage, you'll know. You can't just ghost yourself successfully, not for long, because you'll know. I see this in you, in myself, and that is why I am deeply passionate about self-marriage. It is not for losers with too much time on their hands. It is for badasses. You are a badass just listening here and considering this. Do you know how many people make zero time for this idea? It takes something to be here, to be considering, listening. Thank you so much for being in this conversation with me and with yourself. So if you listen to the very first episode of the Soft Shoulder podcast, you'll know I did not marry myself once I felt like I had achieved some kind of advanced, confident self-love. You know, I jumped in from a horoscope. I was, you know, just dating people that were terrible matches, like really just, I just didn't know where I was going. And I was like, well, I might as well do this. Like, I had no idea where this was going to go. I just decided. I almost did it in a way of like protecting myself. Like, well, if I marry myself, then I won't have to worry about finding someone else to, you know, to show me that I'm worth marrying. That was a part of it. And it was fun. But 17 years later, I mean, I just couldn't have known what kind of container that was going to create in my life in those early days, through long-term relationships, through many losses, many heartbreaks. 17 years is a long time. A lot has happened in relationships and love life, but then just life in general, in health, in family, in creativity and career. I mean, it's a lot of support. It's just, I just couldn't have known how deep that was going to go and how much beauty and strength and significance the container of my self-marriage was going to give me. What would happen if you decided to be your own matchmaker? What would happen if you decided to set a date, not even a wedding date, but an engagement date? What if you just decided that now? You know, I decided to marry myself in December. That was when the horoscope came out. They were like New Year's horoscopes. But I didn't get engaged until February. So, you know, I decided to get married, but then I was like, oh, I'm going to propose in February. I gave myself some time. You get to do this your way, you know. You can even have a lifelong engagement without having a ceremony. This is between you and you. But what if you took that first step now? What are you waiting for? Is there a date on the calendar that you wish to reclaim? Is there a season that feels like the perfect season for you to begin this deeper journey of self-love? So I decided to get engaged in February, and part of that was also a conscious reclaiming of Valentine's Day. I proposed to myself on Valentine's Day. There might be a season that typically is a little gloomy for you every year, and maybe you'd like to create a special time for self-reflection and love every year that will change the calendar for you. This is another way to look at it too, right? You just get to change the season of your life. You get to decide. What does it feel like just to consider this? To really consider that you are someone worth loving. You are. Do you know someone else in your life who is someone worth loving? Please share this episode with them. Or take a moment right now and tap on the 5-star iTunes review so that other people like you can find the soft shoulder and enjoy these messages of self-love. I appreciate your appreciation so very much. If you decide today to say yes to an engagement date, if you're considering a season that you'd like to reclaim, you know, share it with me. I would love to hear from you. Just let me know what's happening. That will also light a little fire under you, under those feet of yours, those cool feet. Warm them up. Send me an email. Let me know that this is in motion. And as always, take care of you. Thank you for listening.